The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Thank you, our Father. I give you praise. Thank you. And thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Son of God. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name. Amen. Amen.
We brought it down for you. We are here for an agenda. We're here. Things pertaining to salvation. Even to open your eyes. To make you see. We are sent here. Even the Father asks us to bring things. To bring this ministration of opening of the eyes unto salvation. We are here. And we brought things. Pertaining to salvation. It is for you. Take it. Receive it. Receive our gift. Receive what we brought. Receive it. For it is for you. It is for your establishment. It is for your upbringing. You are to come up. We are to bring you up. Our things is to bring you up. We are to bring you up. And you are to come up. For we have come to help you to come up. Receive our gift. Receive our gift. For we are here. We are here.
4.
Michael, I am here, I am sent to bring you things. I am sent here. I am here. Even with things everlasting, with things everlasting. I am here to help you. Even to give you skill. Even understanding. Even things that are noted. Even in the scriptures of truth. I have come to help you. To show you the two mysteries. To reconcile the two mysteries. Even the true mysteries. Yay! For the mysteries are true. They are true. Yes, it's true. I have come to help you. I have come to grant you skill and understanding in that which is true. See it, Michael.
Father, Lord, we just thank you tonight. We receive mercy of you, Jesus, in this conference. We thank you for how you have been showing us kindness and your loving kindness. Thank you for how you have used all your ministers since on Monday night to this particular afternoon. Thank you because, again, you are here to raise for us a great help in the Spirit. We appreciate you, Jesus. We are grateful for the communication of help for us in the Spirit. Thank you for open door. Thank you for access in the Spirit. Thank you for the supply of mercy and grace. Thank you, God, for the establishment of our heart. Thank you for the movement of your Spirit. Thank you for your angelic ministration to us tonight. Thank you for the giving and the receiving of light. We thank you, our Father. We honor you, Son of God. We give you praise. I say tonight, you will help me. I receive mercy from you. For with you a multitude of mercy. Oh God, you will cause me to find grace in your sight. Cause me to obtain mercy in your sight. Show me mercy, Lord. For with you is multitude of mercy. Help me, Lord. Give me mercy. Usher me into life. Download help to me tonight. Strengthen me from within, O God. I receive help. I come under that you would take me and order me into life. Shine your light. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my mouth, let me accept it with the sight, your sight. Bless me. Bless your children. Grant me help, Lord. Grant your children help, Lord. Quicken our bodies, giving strength to our flesh. Help our heart, O God. Let faith spoil us. Make us a people that believe you, Lord. We honor you, Son of God. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. I ask for help tonight, that you will cause me to find favor in the sight of your children, that your children will be gracious to them, that from their heart they will not contend with your word, that your word may have a free course, because you will cause me to find favor with you and favor with them. Thank you, because understanding will be given. Thank you, because great help will be given to us all. I lean upon the strength of your spirit. I yield to your flow tonight. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are praying. Okay. I don't know where to start tonight. I have a few things in my notes. I don't know if I should use these notes or I should use the notes on the inside. Okay, let's start from Luke. Luke chapter 1. Let's look at the mention of the day spring. Luke chapter 1. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Help us, Jesus. 67. Let's start from 67. Luke chapter 1, 67. What's happened to our screen? Are they also resting? Are they angry with what I said? 67. And his father, this was when they asked Elizabeth, what shall the name of your son be called? And he says, name shall be called John, which means light. The female version of John is Johanna. It means light. And the family said, Naye, nobody in our house has been called John. John called Johnny. Is Zachariah this boy gone? So they decided to give the writing slate to the father. As he wrote John, his mouth was open and his tongue too was let loose. Then his father was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. You know, this morning we are trying to calibrate that when you see there's the Lord of hosts, there's the Lord Almighty, and the Lord God. The Lord God is revelation of eternity of God. Or the word Lord God is when you see God, or you see eternity. Eternity is called East. They call eternity East. That's why Eden was planted in the East of Eden, in the East. So eternity is called East. So, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited. The Lord God has visited. But nobody knew when the Lord God visited. But the man said, the Lord God has visited. And that has always been the angel knew that God visited. He said, what is man that I am mindful of him? And the son of man that I have visited him. So the Lord God has visited and has redeemed his people. Though what they are talking about here was a whole program of redemption. They are talking about what? The whole taking back man. That redemption is to take man back to beginning. To the beginning. And he has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So we can see that there's no salvation without raising. They raised the horn of salvation. Horn is the strength of salvation. Whenever you see the word horn, horn means the strength of salvation. And the strength is the law. And strength is the law. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said the strength of sin is the law. So when he said they have raised on of salvation, that they have raised the strength of salvation. On of salvation is the strength of salvation. And the strength of salvation is the law of salvation. They have raised the law of salvation. Before this time, so why God visited is because of bringing or raising law of salvation. Because until the law of salvation has been erased, man cannot be redeemed. Redemption, it has to be carried out by the building, the raising of what? Of a horn, or of a strength, or of loss of salvation. So Jesus, the Son of God, is the strength of salvation. Sam was talking about, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Suppose the strength of my life. Or the Lord is my light and my salvation. Salvation is important because his name shall be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Or Joshua, salvation. He shall save his people from thy sin. So the Lord is my life and my salvation. So if the Lord is my light and my salvation, but it's not only whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Or the Lord is the law of my life. Because strength is life. Everybody say that, church. Because sin is a strength. Everybody say that, church. That's the reason why a New Year resolution can't deal with sin. That's why laws and regulations cannot deal with human nature. Because it's a strength. It's a strength that each time you try to rise up, he carry you and Gelulu Kitty. When he carries you and smacks you on the floor. Kitty in Yoruba, sorry for speaking vernacular, those who are friends online, it means he carries you, he has a way of wrestling you down. He's wrestling, he wrestles you down. Sin is not a boxer. He wrestles you down. He wrestles you down. He will wrestle you down and put you under dominion. They say sin shall no longer have dominion over us. So sin wrestles you down and bring you under. So, but because it's a strength. It's a strength that men of God fear. It's a strength that every anointed man of God that ever lived fears sin. People do many laws so that they will not sin. People put a lot of things around themselves. They make sure that sisters are sitting on one side of the church and brothers are sitting on one side of the church. Those that when they were coming from home, they all enter Okada together and they were sandwiched, the sister, to the meeting center. Because of sin, we don't shake sister in our churches. Because of sin, we have decided not to hug. Or because of sin, but because of sin, sometimes we have refused to admire and appreciate something that's good and beautiful. Because if you have a he has a way of seducing us and pulling us. Because we don't want to be pulled by the strength of sin. So sin is a strength. Sin is a strength. That's what you must see. The first thing you must know about sin, that sin is a strength. It's a strength. Say, sin, where is thy strength? And the strength of sin is the law. So sin is a strength. And because it's a strength, it's a law. That means what we've seen together is law. What sin is embodiment, is a design, is a written code, is a law, is a formula. That when you word law, it's a formula. Sin is a formula. And that formula is so complex for any geometrics, any scientist, any tech, any man of technology cannot decode it because it's a strength, it's a law. And because it's a law, it's a knowledge. Because every knowledge is a law. Or every law is a knowledge. I mean, it can be learned. Because it's a law, it can be learned. So sin can be learned. You can learn sin. To learn sin is not to learn fornication and adultery. And that's what I'm talking about. Those are works of the flesh. All the works of the flesh are manifest. They are just under one umbrella. They are just under the umbrella of the lust of the flesh. But sin is more than lust of the flesh. The sin has lust of the eyes. He has pride of life. Those two, you can't know them. They are not manifest. Yes, you can't know them. So, no, that shall not key, shall not matter. They are all manifestation of lust of the flesh. But lust of the eyes cannot be seen. Pride of life, you can't see it. They are not manifest. It will take a spiritual man to detect it. Lot of the eyes can eye behind it that you won't know it. It can be in the church. They are not fornicating. They are not committing adultery. They are not a murderer. But they are under dominion of sin. The way Paul captured it in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. And you are the equity. We are dead in sin and trespasses. Pastor Tosin, you are looking like an army. Yes, army of heaven. Yes, sir. God bless you, sir. So you can see, are you any quickly who are dead in sin and trespasses? Don't mind me. Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power, so of the air, the spirit that now, that was spirit is the law. That was the law that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But among all, we have our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, comma. So, lust of our flesh is just a curriculum. All the works of the flesh are under that thing. But there are other things that you can operate, lust of the eyes and pride of life, you won't know it. You need spiritual senses to know what is the lust of the eyes and what is the lust of pride of life. Because fulfill desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we are by nature children of wrath, even as others. So you can see that, for example, when someone can be given his life or can be given his body to be burned and have no love because he might be driven because of pride of life. Those are what Paul called hidden things of dishonesty. Or you may not know that is the lust of the eyes that is driving a man. So we can see that sin, because sin is a law, then it's a knowledge. You can learn sin. In fact, essence of fallen spirits. What fallen spirits, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, they are teachers of sin and death. Spirits teach sin. They don't teach fornication, but they are teachers of sin. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, they are teachers of sin. Because, or they teach how to use the law, how to use the strength of sin as life. Because what the strength of sin is to use it as life. The Lord is my life and my salvation. The law is the strength of my life. So if sin is a strength, then it's a life. It's not fornication. You may not be fornicating and may not commit adultery. You may not be doing any works of the flesh. But sin, you are using the strength of sin to live by. Like, hate is a sin. Hate is a sin. Impatience is a sin. Inability to wait for the Lord is a sin. It's a sin. And inability to wait is higher sin than fornicator. Yes? Yes, if you want to rank sin, it's higher than fornicating. I'm not saying fornication, I'm not giving license for fornication. But I'm saying that it's higher. Because that was what fell Saul. That was fair. As soon as he was just killing, the prophet just kept coming. Because when you can't wait, you will spark fire. You will kindle your own flame. That is Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 50 or 50, that 50 or 51. Who is a man that feareth the Lord? Who is a man? Isaiah 50. Who is Sanano, Feria, Tesses, Palano, Tiaga, Olamineli, Stembra, Lariododoses, Balinogla, Stemboyat, Oli Mariande, Ses, Balinoria, Tesses, Bate. Thank you. Isaiah 50. Thank you, Jesus. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and that obey the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness? So you can obey, you can be a man that fear the Lord and you obey the voice of his servant. The servant here, when you get to 51, he talk about that servant. My servants are doing prudently. That servant
is the Son of God. He was talking about the servants of death that fear the Lord. And that walketh in darkness. When you walk in darkness, it's not that you are walking. This darkness is not carnality. It's not sin. But this darkness is a man that is in Christ. That is that transition into the Lord. Because it's the Lord, yeah. It's to come, it's waiting for the day to the day dawn. My servant that walk in darkness, because only place is dark. You walk in darkness, you walk in darkness, walk in darkness, and have no light. That means he has used light as shine darkness, but then gradually is entering into the most holy place, but has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. That word trust is to wait. Say trust is to wait. So when a man cannot wait, he's a sinner. And what will make a man not to wait is when he has alternatives. And finding alternative is finding a life. And that life to him, when you say, oh boy, help those who help themselves. Or you say, we need to have option, alternatives. That is sin. But that's not work of the flesh. But that is pride of life. Because it's trusting the harm of flesh. It's trusting the harm of flesh. So when a soul can't wait, so that soul has strength. Because really, but one thing you find about David, that David, he was a king, but there's something that never very far from his mouth. For I am poor and needy. But this guy has armies. He has horses. He has chariots. But he know that he does not trust in those things. Yeah, I waited for you all day long. You find that a regular vocabulary in the mouth of David, the servant of God. So the Lord is my life and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. So you can give that. What strength gives is give expression to life. Say strength. Give expression to life. So that's the reason why they say the glory of the youth is his strength. That means, when they say the glory of the youth, means the glory of the life of a youth is his strength. He has found a life that an elderly person cannot do. He can still take some risk. But before, a man that is able to take risk, where he's trying to use all his money to do forex. And trying to do cryptocurrency, the money that's in the space that nobody knows what is happening to it. But you see an elderly man, 55 years, and go and put his money in treasury bill of 3%. And when somebody is promising another, they are promising the youth man that you are going to get 60% of your return. And he comes to tell his daddy, "Daddy, there's this cryptocurrency." Say, "Where is this cryptocurrency? Where is it? It's in this car. Where is this car? It's in this space. What do they call it? Cyber currency. Where's the cyber? It's cyber." Say, Johnny, I can't do that because this is pension money. I don't want to die very soon. So, a young man can take that kind of risk. But also, he cannot just carry his program and say, it's jackpot of Canada. Where does he want to start from? Except the law is leading him. So you can see that strength gives divination to life. Strength. He said, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. So sin is say what? So the strength of sin is the life of sin. And what informs the life of sin is the law of sin and death. So if it's a law, then man can learn sin. Man can learn sin. And if man can learn sin, then spirit. So Satan designed spirit to teach man how to use sin. And how to use sin is how to use the law of sin. It's to use the law of sin. So is the teaching of the law of sin. That's why you can see a child, a just child of 3 years old, 4 years old, he can go and take sweet or biscuit from the bowl that his parents kept it. And when he heard his father's step, he quickly take it and pull it, kick it. Yeah, his daddy has never done that before. His mother has never done before. where he landed at us, where you and your house spirit was busy teaching that child. So sin can be learned, sin can be taught. Evil spirit teach sin. Evil spirits, when you say principalities, when you say powers, they are not too much interested in oppression. They want to teach you. They are teachers. They are instructors. They instruct men how to use the strength of sin. And Satan can trust you more when you are a user of the strength of sin. The more strength of sin you can use, or the more life of sin you can use, the more Satan invests in you. You are an asset to Satan. Satan say, wow, this guy is using. If I surround this guy with more money, he will use it well. God, Satan knows. That's why Satan will never. Sometimes for 50,000 to come into your hand as a child of God, he will take a lot of angel. Because Satan, if he says that he doesn't want any dime, cobble to come to your hand, any penny to come to God, Satan knows that you use your money to go and buy Bible. Use your money to attend life campaign. Use your money to support life. God, Satan don't like people to use money like that. Satan wants you to use money to publish the law of death. Want to use resources. He use money. He use bright mind. He use intelligent mind. He use passions of man. Anytime you got this guy is very passionate. Okay. He will give help. He will hate it. He will give capacity. He will invest in it so that he can bring forth many fruit. So you can see the Lord is my life. The Lord is the strength what of my life. So let's go back to the scripture I was reading. Yes, Luke, where I started. Luke chapter 1 from 6-7. He has raised up for us for on of salvation. So I say on of salvation is the strength of salvation. And if it is the strength of salvation, it's the law of salvation. And if it's the law of salvation, because the strength is the law. If it's the law of the salvation, then it's the knowledge of salvation. The horn of salvation is the knowledge, because it's a strength. And if it's a strength, it's a learning. So salvation can be learned. Say that, church.
Salvation can be learned.
It can be learned. You can learn salvation. Salvation can be learned. So if salvation is strength, then it's a law. Because the strength of sin is the law. So if it's the strength, so it showed that salvation can be learned. Then if it's a law, then it's a knowledge. That's Hosea chapter 4. But my people perish for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected me, I will reject you what as a priest unto me. So you can see that you can learn salvation. So he has raised up for us an honor of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. 70, let's run quickly so that we can close on time. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, so you can find that Peter was talking about the mouth of his holy prophets in 1 Peter chapter 1. Sorry, please. So he spoke about the prophet who prophesied. Who prophesies? He said we should guide up the loins of our mind and we should be sober. We should look unto the end. The salvation will be revealed and the last time which were prophesied. Hallelujah, somebody. Wherefore, guide up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so, and this salvation, the prophet prophesied. The prophesies of this salvation that is to be brought to us. They are to bring the salvation. And he spake by the mouth of the holy prophet, which has been since the world began. So what the prophet we are speaking was about salvation. What we are speaking was about salvation. What we are speaking was about the bringing, a time of bringing knowledge of salvation. Or the bringing of the law of salvation. They need to bring, or the bringing of the strength of salvation. The strength of salvation. That we should be saved from our enemies. Did we jump? Can we go back to 70? Okay, 71, sir. Thank you so much. 71. That we should be saved from our enemies. So we need to be safe from our enemies. Our enemies are not household enemies. They are not the uncle in the village. They are not the Auntie Rosaline in the family house in Ekpe. They are not our bosses at office, boss Joshua, that will not sign my promotion letter in the Ministry of Works and the Civil Service. Those are not our enemies. But for a man's enemy is a member of his household. For us to save us from our enemy, because and our enemies are not easy to be saved from them, because they are ingrained, they are at home, and we are at home with them. They are our idol. We love them. We have covenants with them. We have agreement with them. We kiss them. We romance them. They are our darling. When you touch our enemy, we fight you. I fight you every time you want to touch my enemy. Because my enemy has become my life. So, those enemies are our life. Because they give us promises. These enemies have helped us. They have helped us to make progress on earth. So when you want to touch the enemy, you are saying, how can you touch? You need to rule me. Our enemies are only the rule. They have only been standing for us. So you can see that's why they have to raise a horn. It has to be a bull, a sign, to wrestle down these enemies. So they have to raise a horn of salvation to wrestle down and separate us, or to break our allegiances. And God knows that these are our enemies, we love them. So God does not come for our enemy at once. But when he wants to go for enemy, he comes as a thief in the night. He's sneaking. And when he's coming, he says, "Hello, Amen." There's silence everywhere. God will not talk. Because if you do take a mini enyiwo niyeho, a wani enyiwo, a mini tinje mini, a wotu niye. So we can see that these enemies is to save us from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. They that hate us. So that you can see that is what salvation is for. Salvation is deliverance from enemies and from the end of them that hate us. To perform the mercy promise to our fathers. The promise that means, so we can't perform mercy that is promised to our father until we are being saved from our enemies. So, because the promise that the promise of our father is the promise of eternal life. For this is the promise that they have promised us, eternal life. So they can't perform, that means they can't bring to fulfillment the promise in our life. They can't bring for fulfillment of eternal life in a man when he's seeking allegiance with enemies of God and he's seeing power with haters of God. So the first thing that they do in this is in this look, we find two programs. Why the Lord God has visited and has redeemed. He has visited and has redeemed. The visitation of the Lord God, or the visitation of the Lord Almighty, is to bring forth deliverance, to bring forth what? Saving us from our enemy, and then that aid us for the purpose of one thing, so that he can perform the mercy promise. But there's no way he can perform mercy promise until we have been saved from our enemy. So the program of saving us from our enemy is the first agenda before the performance of the promise. Bible says the program of saving us from our enemies and then that hate us is the first agenda before the performance of the mercy of the promise. So we can see that the mercy of the promise is the giving of eternal life, or what they call the obtaining of eternal glory, or the obtaining of immortality, even eternal life. So, but they can't give eternal life to a man that has enemies. They can't give eternal life to a man that has hatred of God on the inside. So they need to save him, and what they use to bring for that salvation is by raising the horn of salvation. To perform the mercy promise of our Father and to remember his holy covenants. Verse 47, the oath which is swore to our father Abraham. And the oath I swore to our father Abraham is that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will multiply thy seed. That he will grant unto us that we being delivered. So if you see that word, it was a being delivered. So it's not, the deliverance is going to be a process. It's not being delivered. It's being delivered. So I mean, our deliverance, which is our being saved. We are saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. We are saved. By faith are you saved. Not by work. We are being saved or being delivered. So that we shall be saved. So we can see here, salvation is not just a one thing. Salvation of our spirit is instantaneous, but the saving of the soul, they call it saving of the soul. Saving of the soul. Saving, Hebrew. Saving of the soul. For we are not the ones that draw back unto perdition, but we are the ones that believe to the saving of the soul. So it's a saving of the soul. So saving the soul. So where the enemies are and where the haters of God are in the soul. And those haters of God, they are the enemies of God. Amen. And so we have enemies in us. We have haters. And they want to save us from our enemies. And they want to deliver us from their hand. Of them that hate us. We don't know that spirit hate us. People will say that Christian church is Adon and Sami is a lie. There is fight in church. I will beat my church. The gate of air shall not prevail. So there's a fight in the church. It's because you don't know your Bible. That's why you're saying the Christian church, gate of air, is a warning against the church. I will beat my church. The gate of air shall not prevail. There's a power that wants to prevail. And what he wants you to prevail against the church is in us. Because we are, our soul is what made up the church. So you can see that regardless of being delivered out of the hand of our enemy, myself, being delivered, myself, him without fear. So we can serve God without fear. To serve there is to serve the living God. God wants to raise servants of God. Servants of God. But there are enemies that won't allow us to serve God. These servants of God in this level are bond servants. They are not just ordinary servants. You can serve righteousness unto holiness, which is Christ. But to serve without fear, because fear is a bondage that every man are under. Hebrew chapter 2. Both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified. Hebrew 2. Give me from verse 10, please. Let's ask from 10. Hebrew 2 from verse 10. For he became him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing sons to glory. What God wants to bring sons into glory. They want to bring many sons into eternal glory. Not to bring men into eternal glory, but they cannot bring men into eternal glory to make the captain of their salvation. Say, the captain of their salvation. So the captain of their salvation is the horn of their salvation. The horn of their salvation. To make the captain of their salvation perfect. So they want to perfect salvation. It's salvation we need to perfect. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. But he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. So you want to, that the captain of their salvation is also a sanctifier. There is a Christ is a sanctifier. You read the book of Acts of Apostles 20. I commend to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up. The word of his grace build you up. That word of his grace is the word of Christ. The word of his grace is the doctrine of faith unto charity. It is the precept of faith, hope, and charity. The operation of the word, of the leading of the Spirit in the school of faith of Jesus Christ. I commend. So it's able to build you up because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is abundant with what? With faith and love. 1 Timothy. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of Christ is what? Is abundant with faith and love. So grace there is faith and love. So and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So when you extract grace of Christ, what you find inside grace is faith and love. When you say the grace of Christ is faith and love, those are the materials of grace. Grace is not without contents. The content of grace of Christ is faith and love. So for the faith of the Lord is exceeding abundant with faith and love. That's why you can't say you are teaching grace of Christ and you are not teaching faith and love. If you say I'm teaching the grace of Christ, I'm teaching the knowledge of Christ, because grace and peace they multiply unto you through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So if you are teaching Jesus Christ, you should be teaching faith and love of Jesus. Say, I am a teacher of grace. Yes. Some people are ashamed to say, I'm a teacher of grace of Christ. I teach grace. But when you say I'm a teacher of grace, what do you teach as your own grace? Are you teaching faith? Are you teaching love that is in Christ? Those are the contents of the grace of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So I commend it to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build it up. So faith and love builds up. Because they need to build you up. Because formerly you are grass in your soul. They need to build you up. To build you up means you need to be able to start being to gain stature. You need growth. Because you can't deal with your enemies without growth. How you deal with your enemies is that you grow above them. You grow. You need growth. They will measure growth. And there's no real place for growth without grace. Grace is what grows men. You don't grow men. You grow men with knowledge. The knowledge of Christ, which is the knowledge of the grace of Christ. The knowledge of Christ, which is the knowledge of faith of Jesus and love of Jesus. Hope is there, but hope is just the middle being, but the stretch. Hallelujah, somebody. So I commend to God, the word of the Spirit is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. There's inheritance among them that are sanctified. That means they only share inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away among the company of the sanctified. They will not share inheritance. If you are the issue of the inheritance, which Peter was talking in 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 4, unto inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away, reserved in heaven for us, are only shared among the sanctified. And not all for the sanctified, they share their inheritance among the spiritual. Or they share their inheritance among the just. Or they share their inheritance among the godly. of the shared of inheritance among them that are made covenant of life and peace. So either you make covenant, so you can't make covenant of life and peace except with the word of his grace. And what is covenant of life and peace? Galatians. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So a spiritual minded man, no, I thought in the morning, I said a carnally minded man is dead. A spiritually minded man is what? Is life and peace. So, but I said a carnal Christian is not a carnally minded man. It's just carnal. I cannot speak unto you as unto carnal, but as unto spiritual. But a man that has not accepted Jesus Christ is still carnal minded, is dead. But that soul is not dead when you give it to Christ. Activity of meek of the world begin to work upon that mind. Although you are not spiritual, but you are just carnal and start work exercising of faith and love. Faith and love, faith and love. Working on that mind. Working on that heart. Exercise. And you can love in the spirit. But then, they bring after you can love in spirit, they introduce the word of his grace to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus that is exceedingly abundant with faith and love. They begin to teach you faith teaching, faith lesson, and faith and love are leading of the Spirit. But here, it's not objective leading of the Spirit, it's subjective leading of the Spirit. Majority of our faith elders, they understand about objective leading of the Spirit. I want a car, I won't go until God tell me get it. I want to travel, I won't go until God say I should do it. I want to start a new branch of our church, we won't do it until I say to church. Those are objective leading of the Spirit. But faith and love, which is the teaching of the word of his grace, is subjective leading of the Spirit. A lot of our elders in faith, they went through subjective of the Spirit, but they don't know that that's what it's called. It's the teaching of the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. It's to package an arrangement that is subjective into. But because you have learned trust of the Lord, you will not fight it. You will let it go. Pastor Ajimati was teaching those things this night. So you could know that it's a matter of understanding of subjective leading of the Spirit. It's subjective into the leading of the Spirit. And subjective leading of the Spirit starts with the faith of the Lord Christ and continue in the days of everlasting life. Because Hebrews chapter 12 says, the father of your flesh chasing you for their own profiting, won't you rather be subject or be in subjection to the Father of Spirit that you may live forever? He deals with you as with a son. So, leading of the Spirit is dealing of the Lord upon you. Say that, church. I hope I'm carrying you along tonight. So you can see that faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and love of the Lord Jesus Christ is really what they call leading of the Spirit. Faith of the Son, charity is leading of the Spirit. But now, it's a subjective leading of the Spirit. Even we keep designing different methods to make you do things that you don't want to do. Things that you never thought you need to do. When they tell you, charity endure all things. That is leading of the Spirit. Charity behave not itself unseemly. It's not that you can't behave yourself. Is that charity will not make you behave like that. You are subjected. You could as well take lots of your hand and go and do what you want to do. But why you won't do it? Because you are compelled. The love of Christ compels you. It subjects you. So faith and love of Jesus Christ, or the grace of our Lord, or the word of his grace, is subjectively not the Spirit. It subjects you. You cannot do otherwise. Anytime you want to do otherwise, your conscience, because you have had knowledge, will not allow you rest. Because they have sprinkled clean water on that conscience. They are upgrading the judgment of your tabernacle. And when you have used that, I commend to God the word of his grace, which is able to build you up among them that are sanctified. So when the man have used faith unto charity, which 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. Look at how 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 called this. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that mere charge some that teach no other doctrine. So there's no other doctrine you should teach. This is the doctrine you should teach. What is the doctrine that you teach? Neither give it to fables or endless genealogy, which minister questions rather than godly edification. Men are to be godly edified or be godly built. Edification is to be godly built. You want to build men that are godly. And there's no way you can build men that are godly except with a kind of doctrine, which is the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, which is the faith and the love of Christ. That is a godly edification or godly building, which is in faith. So there's no way a man can be godly built except in the faith, which is in the faith. So you talk about faith, which is the beginning of building a godly edifice. Say godly edification. It's a godly edifice. Edification is a godly edifice. Now, so you talk about godly edification. Now, the end of the commandments of what? Of godly edifice is charity. But charity out of a pure heart. Charity out of a pure heart. So you can see that faith and love, or the word of his grace, is also called the word of truth. The word of grace, said the church, is also called the word of truth. So the word of grace is also known as the word of truth. So find it pure. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 21. By whom also you believe in God. By whom also you do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. That your faith and hope might be in God. See, you have purified your soul in obeying the truth. So there's a faith and love that is the truth. Into unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love another fervently. With a pure heart, fervently. So let's go back to that Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and faith on sin. So this is how they sanctify a man. Faith, love, faith, hope, and charity, they are substance of sanctifying a man. So let's go back to that Hebrew. Both he that sanctified and them that are sanctified. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are of one. For which God is not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name into my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Again, I will put my trust in him. Behold, I and the children which God has given unto me. For as much then as children. This way I'm going to. So you can be sanctified. And based on being sanctified, you become children. So the sanctified, when a man has moved into the end of charity, he has loved. A godly man will become children of God, or what John called little children. John called them little children. When you have been sanctified, and they want to start declaring the name, so I will declare my name of the Father. But what they call the name of the Father, dear me, was out of verse 2:20, call it inheritance among them that are sanctified. Declaring the name is sharing inheritance. Say that, church. So declaring of the name of the Father is the sharing of the inheritance that are incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away. So the name of the Lord is inheritance. The name is not just Orukoreni Jesu Christi. No, that's not. Name is a nature. It's a nature that he has inherited, that he wants to share with children. But these children are sanctified. They used to be old men, but by the reason of sanctifying that, they caught their age and they became children. They became children in malice. They became children in things. They have reduced their age. But that does not mean, though they have been sanctified, but that does not mean that they are still not infirmity, or there's still no flesh and blood contending with them. Though they have been sanctified, but they are still having warfare with flesh and blood, which are enemies of God. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither shall corruption inherit that which is incorruptible. And they want to share inheritance among them that are sanctified. But the children, for as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood. Say, children are partakers of flesh and blood. So, but They're supposed to share inheritance. These children are the sanctified. And they're supposed to share inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away. But these children still share in flesh and blood. Though they are sanctified, they still share in flesh and blood. I said, flesh and blood. Flesh is not, it's not the body. Flesh is a law. Flesh is a program. Another version called flesh is a veil. It's a veil. So they share is a limitation. Flesh limits you. Flesh is an arrangement. It's a sense. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of receiving things. You know, it's flesh and blood. Though it's sanctified, but it's still flesh and blood. And they need to give inheritance. They need to declare the name to children. But children are still being heard under the enemies. Under the enemy in core flesh. Under the enemy, under the aether core blood. Blood is not replacement here. The blood of a thing is what? The life of a flesh is the blood. It's a life. Though there is still a life that men use. And God does not want man with that life. God wants man to extract that life. It's in the gene. It's coded in this awareness. It's coded in his awareness. He's so aware of it. He needs to break free from that. And that limitation is in his mind. It's also in his heart, called flesh and blood. So, there are children that are sanctified, but they are still under the bondage of flesh and blood. But mother children are part of flesh and blood. He said, likewise, took part in the same, that through death, he might destroy it that have the power of death, that is the devil. So long as you are flesh and blood, death, you are still within the range of death. You are still within the what? Range of death. Or you are still the death can still have victory. Because death is a victory. You can still perish. You can still decline. You can still go down. Though you have been sanctified, but they can still corrupt you. You are still corruptible. And deliver them total fear of death. Because we're supposed to raise servants that will serve God without fear. Men that are no longer being heard under the power of flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, maybe like 40 something. Now this I say, therefore, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But these sanctified children, these ones that have used the grace of Christ and is full of faith and love, that have used the judgment of Christ, they are sanctified, they are the children, but they still are partakers of flesh and blood. And they want to give inheritance among them that are sanctified, but even that are sanctified, that are children, are still combating flesh and blood. Though sin has been dealt with in a measure, but flesh and blood is still holding them. Enemies of God is still holding them ransom. So reason why they raise honor of salvation. Reason why the Son of the Living God is raised is to deliver men from the power of flesh and blood. You can give me back to me, sir. That's Hebrew 2 that we are reading. For both ye that sanctify and they that do are sanctified one, for which God is not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name, or I will share their inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away, in the midst of the sanctified church, or in the midst of the godly church, or in the midst of Christ's church, will I sing unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. Behold, I and the children that which God gave unto me, for as much then as the children that God gave to me are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime in subjection to bondage. So you can see that the strength of corruption is fear. It's fear. That's the strength of death. What death used to harass men is fear. When I talk about fear, I'm not talking about torment. What is fear? What is fear? How did fear go to the word of man? You remember? He made a man sin in the garden. Adam said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. I was afraid. But this is the God that come the cool of the day to have conversation with man. So what is generating fear is a knowledge. What brought fear is a knowledge. It's the knowledge of good and evil. Because what my age was knowledge of the good and evil. So the fear of death is a knowledge. And if it's a knowledge, it's a strength. Because a man of knowledge increases strength. And if it's a strength, it's a law. For the strength of sin, what? Is the law. So fear is a strength. Because I'm trying to talk about why there's need for the arm of salvation. Why there's need for the strength of salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. So fear, though a man has been delivered from sin, a man has been delivered from the law of sin and death, a man has been delivered from godliness, unrighteousness, and uncleanness, but so long as blood, flesh and blood have power over him by strength of fear, that man is not free. Because to be carnally minded is death, to be soully minded is life and peace. Or, for the spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. That you are free from the law of sin and death does not mean you are free from flesh and blood. And there's no way they can deal with flesh and blood in Revelation. Or you need something to be downloaded from you by the Father. What they told Peter. For flesh and blood, I'm not revealing this to you. You should have flesh and blood can also reveal things. Or what Paul said in Galatians 2. When he pleased God, when he pleased God, this is God, the Son of God. When he pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach in among the heathen, I confirm not with flesh and blood. What Paul was talking about here was not faith, was not Christ. He talked about reveal his Son in me. Just as Christ has informed in me, the Son of living God needs to be revealed in me. And the revelation of the Son of God is the revelation of salvation. Christ is a sanctifier. The Son of God is salvation. He's a savior. So, and the way the Son come save me is to reveal me. It's to reveal the Son. And revelation of the Son is the download of his knowledge of the Son of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, that comes to the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith is the knowledge of Christ. The unity of the faith will come into the bond of faith. Unity of the faith until we come to the accord of faith, which is hope, faith, and charity, the bond of faith. The totality of faith. Faith united, which is faith, hope, and charity, which is all about Christ. But not just coming to the unity of the faith, we also need to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the Son of God is to deliver them that are sanctified from the power of flesh and blood. Hebrews chapter 12 was talking about that. He said, Hebrews chapter 12, seeing that we are encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What he called weight here is to lay aside flesh and blood. Peter called this wherefore, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of Lord, that they may grow thereby. Lay aside all malice, all guard, hypocrisy, evil speaking, envy, and evil speaking. So here you talk about Leah said every weight. Every weight is a weight. Man, we might be free from the law of sin and death, but we are still carrying weights. It's weight. And what does weight do? Weight slow men down. Flesh and blood are weight. Because what God created? God created a living soul. In the order of everlasting earth. That's what he created Adam and Eve. They were everlasting. They have everlasting earth. They are everlasting on earth. Angels were everlasting heavenlies. Adam and Eve were everlasting earth. Because he gives them a living soul. So they were not flesh. A living soul generated into flesh. And when they say now, man is flesh. What they call flesh, in the book of Genesis, is that the imagination of the thought of his heart are wicked continually. That's one thing. And second thing, he has corrupted the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. He has corrupted it. And when I say the imagination of the thought is wicked continually, they are not talking about killing people. They were talking about, as every is higher from the earth, so are my ways from your ways. And my thoughts from your thoughts. When we are flesh and blood, our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Because the ways of God are they are everlasting to everlasting. And flesh and blood is not wired that way. Though he's a godly man, but it's not wired that way. That's why it will take the godly to stand in judgment. That judgment means when they need to open to him God's thoughts. When they need to talk about judgment, they are talking open to him God's secrets. Then opening to him the heart of God or the heart of the Father. But he stayed as flesh and blood is an enemy. And they want to give inheritance as incorruptible. They want to share with him his name. And that is where his deliverance is. That's going to deliver him from flesh. That's going to deliver him from blood. So I was telling you to read from Hebrews 12. Since we are surrounded by what? A great cloud of weakness we were. Let us lay aside every weight. And the sin. The sin. Yeah, it's definite. It's not sins. It's the sin. Which doth easily beset us. Let us run, not let us walk. In Christ we walk. In the season of everlasting God, we run. We run. And the season of eternal life, we mount up. We run. Let us run with patience the race. This is the race of entering into salvation. Or entering into the holy, what? Entering into the holy place. Or entering into the name of the Lord, who is a strong tower. Let us run. What? The race I said before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author. But don't just stay in the author of it. The author and the end of the faith, which is the salvation of the soul. The author and the finisher of the faith. That finisher is the end of it. The end of it, which is salvation. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And our faith is within the end of salvation. It's in the end of our faith, even salvation of our soul. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? That is Christ. Despite the shame, he sat down the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. So they talk about he endured the shame, despite he endured the cross, despite the shame. Talking about activity, that was an allocation. But beyond that, for consider him. After this one, there's another thing that he did before he sat on the cross. For consider him that also endured such contradictions of sinners. Of sinners or blood against himself, lest you be weary are sins in your mind. It's Pastor Dimitri that was talking it. He says, this season of everlasting life is the season that men are being weary in the church. Men are sinning. And if you are sanctified and you are godly, you can see things. I mean, Christ has been forming you, you can see things. Christ can, if you are concerned. Because the flesh and blood is not a thing that give up easily. Gospel of John. Is it verse 10 or 12? Who are born? Give me from verse 12. Who are born? From verse 12. He came to his own receiving, but many are receiving, giving power. But as many as receive him. But let's see the sense. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and by him, and the world knew him not. So the world knew him not. They're talking about the only begotten. The world knew him not. Because they don't even know the Spirit, Holy Ghost. Whom the world cannot receive. So he came unto the world. The world knew him not. But not just the world that knew him not. He came to his own. His own, yeah, and not the Jews. Because this was John talking about. He came to his own. Those are those who are Christ. They are the ones that have been bought. He came to his own. His own receive him not. Because why? What is offering is to back them by the incorruptible seed. To back them by the mystery of salvation. To back them, to break them free from flesh and blood. Deliver them and save them from their enemy and them that hate them. But he offered them that provision, but they can't take it. He came to his own. Those who are crying. He came to his own. His own receiving to them. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own receive him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him. So receiving him here, receiving the Son. To them gave him power. Our power is also strength. To give them power is to deliver to them knowledge of salvation. Is to give to them knowledge of salvation that will save them from their enemies and from it that hate them. Because you see it. But as many as received him, gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Believe even on his name. Who are these people that believe? He now began to describe their DNA. And why some people cannot receive him. And why these people received him. Which we are born, not of blood. Which we are born, not of blood. Every man that on earth has been born of blood. To be born of blood, dear, is to be born of the life, the flesh. The life that power flesh. Because what power flesh is the blood. For the life of the flesh is the blood. That's be free from flesh and blood. That means what in form flesh. A man may be free from sin. The law of sin and death. But he's still being under the life of flesh. That's why those that will overcome it must not love their life unto the dead. They overcame by the blood of the law, by the word of their testimony. And they love not their life unto the dead. Which we are born, not of blood. So every man has been born by blood, by the life of the flesh. You know, yeah, I'll be able to break that. There's a law of sin and death that we are sanctified from by operation of faith unto charity or love. But that you have been free from that law does not mean that flesh and blood are still not at work. His life is still there. That is what make when you see the person is Christ, but they need to still suffer. They talk about Jesus Christ. Say Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh offer prayers and supplication until he's able to save him from the fear of death, save him from the power of death. Hebrew 5. Over prayer and supplication, that's able to save him from the fear of death, from death. And he was heard in that he feared. Though he was a son, yet you learn obedience. So what they call obedience there is the program that begs him his salvation. And he learned obedience by the things he suffered and be made perfect. He became author, or he became the horn of salvation to everyone that will obey him. So disobedience are carried out by the sanctified people, are carried out by the godly souls, so that they can receive their freedom, they can be being delivered from our enemies and the hand of them that hate us. Being delivered from the fear of death, because they need to serve God without fear.
Thank you, Jesus. Kavote, thank you, Jesus. For lo, this is the horn. This is the horn that hands down the judgment. Mm. This is the horn that brings the victory. This is the horn that guarantees the victory of the saints. It is the horn that guarantees the victory of the saints. It is the horn that Iakani itaketule. Even the horn that brings victory to the saints. For when this horn is fully wrought in the midst of a saint, they will defeat their adversary forever. They will defeat their adversary forever. It is a horn so high and exalted. It is a horn that the church must receive. It is a horn that the church must embrace. It is a horn that must be heard. It is a horn that must be learned. It is a horn that must be embraced. This is the victory of the church. This is the blessing of the church. This is the hope of the saints. This is the hope of all that call upon God. It is this horn. It is this horn that guarantees victory. That guarantees victory. Oh, for when this horn is received, then the saints will conquer the adversary forever. They will conquer that which had conquered them hitherto. They will conquer that which had defeated them hitherto. They will conquer, and they will conquer, and they will conquer, and they will never anymore be conquered. This is the horn. This is the horn that brings deliverance, says the Spirit.
So you can see that when we are saying, I wrote something here, let me read it for us. I just want to read it.
Sorry. Where's this?
He said, I am persuaded that we, the church, are at the close of one age and the dawning of a new age. This new age in Christ is to bring us into the perfect realm and estate of love. When I saw Reverend Olabode calling about the dawning of the God's day, he is the announcing of a new age. It's a close. It's when I say that to a people that are hearing it, they are closing the age. But it's not close to the church world. Is the opening of a new age to bring men into the perfect day. So, that's John that we are reading. So, he came to his son, they received him, but as many as received him, if when we are declaring things of salvation, or things of everlasting, which is the key to pass from death to life, Everlasting time, when you use it to pass from death to life. It's a passage. It's an exit from the realm of the dead into the realm of the living. Which we are born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh. This one is not flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. They use the word the will. It's not the law of sin and death in the flesh. Boy, it's the will. It's the will. The will. The will is a program. Reverend Musi said this thing. He came to Lagos. I can't remember if it's a convention or one of Right Television. He said, there is a threshold that men are walk with the Lord, they can't cross. It has only been hard for men to cross flesh and blood. Men can journey into become Christ, godly. But to cross the dimension called flesh and blood. Because when you cross flesh and blood, it's a passage from death to life. That's how John chapter 5 call it. 1 John chapter 2 call it. When it happened, it say darkness is past already. And the true light now shining. It's now shining. It's a breaking. It's a day dawn. It's a bit of use to stretch and cross into the day. When that thing happened, such entities. Thank you, Spirit of God. Revelation chapter 14 called them. For these are they that are redeemed from among men. They are not sinners. When they say men, they are not talking about men that are carnal. They are not talking, they are talking about they are redeemed for new men, new creation, Christ. Because Christ is a new man. They are no longer men. Because you cannot receive inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away and still retain a man. You can't. You cannot. They can't declare the name of the Father to you. A man that are sanctified, and they are still a man. You say, ah, the children do not give them. We are for signs and wonder. When they have declared, you become a son and wonder. They look at that and say, what manner of man is this? That was an everlasting man. This one, you know, they be a man. Man, know they behave like this. This is not that the wind obey him. Man, these are not man. But we cannot deny that. You see, he has bone and flesh. He's one of us. He has two eyes. But he's not a man. What kind of man is this? What if a man is this? The dawning of the days of God is for these are the ones that are redeemed from among men. They are redeemed from the head. So there's a man, flesh and blood, that see of the earth. It's redeeming them from heartiness. Redeeming them from heartiness. Redeeming them for everything. Come on! This is the dawning of God's day. Because no man will see God and live. You, if truly you are open everlasting God, you can't see him and still retain as a man. Flesh and blood must give way to the new nature he wants to give. God's servant, Reverend K, I didn't understand what he was teaching. What was he to say? He said, for God standeth among the gods. They are no longer men, they be gods. Because they have been redeemed from among men and been redeemed from the head. They are gods. They are gods. They are gods. In their day, the whole foundation of the earth can be of course, but they are gods. Say, don't you know you are gods? Unto the word of God, the incorruptible seed is come. Not born of blood, not born of the will. seal of the flesh. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It can't inherit the dominion. Because if you want to reign in life, and you don't start reigning until you have entered to everlasting life. That's the beginning of reign. If it's from reign, those who have received abundance of grace. Abundance of grace is abundance of life. And the gift of everlasting righteousness. That righteousness there is not righteousness of Christ. It's everlasting righteousness. Shall reign in life. You start reigning from everlasting. So, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So John said, when you talk about people, you can't say what produced this one is a thing of a man. These people that receive him, he came to his own. His own receiving not. That's why you may be Christ, but you may not want to receive the teaching of everlasting gospel. Because you know that everything a man is, he will alienate it. Both the kind of man that you know, and the kind of man that you never even know. Which was the first man, Adam. Which is an earthly man. All the idea of what you can, the best thing of the best of man, and the best of man that ever lived upon the earth, outside was Adam and Eve. And they want to redeem you from such a man. It's not bad, it's God's creation, but God does not want it in the new creation. Which are born, not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Born of God. Born of God. So God can't give birth to flesh and blood. We can be born of incorruptible seed and still retain flesh and blood. Where we still have the will of flesh. We still have the program of man. The will is program of man. We still have the program of flesh. We still have the program of blood. That is the dawning of the day that's upon us, God's people. It's the day that's upon us that people are breaking away from what is known as man. If just the meek of the word, meek of the word, meek of the word, then meek of the word, they say men that have turned the whole world upside down. Just meek of the word, men turn the whole world upside down. An introduction into Christ turned the whole world upside down. How much more in the day of everlasting gospel? Where they are going to judge everything that is called the will of man, the code of man, the will of blood, and the will of the flesh. Because they are giving the incorruptible inheritance. They are declaring the name of the Father to us. And when we are born, look at this room. Isaiah said, I and the children that God gave me were for signs and wonder in Israel. Okay, sons, hello, these are wonders. They are signs and wonders. They are signs and wonders. They are wonders. Because everybody, I beg you, if we wait on this thing and we do well, we will pass. We pass from death to life. Father, so let me just say something so I can sit down. Thank you, my brother. We receive the prophecy. Satan has always stand at this junction for every generation and wrestle them down. He will wrestle down with spiritual wickedness, spirits that are wicked, and he the dragon, drag with man. When they were given, I could say, men whom the word was not worthy of them. God will so much work in us that we become useless. I know you don't like that word. All of us want to be useful. I want to be so useless to this world. You can't be useful for God when you are still useful for this world. God used the destitute, the despised of this world. The stone which have been rejected of men, but chosen of God. God don't choose what has not been rejected. That which has been disallowed indeed of men, that is how what the law is precious to him. Is that which is rejected? That which is disallowed. When they were describing him in Isaiah 53, he said, for when you look at his he has no comeliness, no form that we should desire him. A man rejected of men. This zone that we are describing, the dawn of those days, which is why they raise the horn of salvation for us. When we get to that zone, first of all, you think that because you are in Christ, they are persecuting you. When you get to that zone, that Paul said, we are made spectacle. Scum. We are made scum of people. In the days of Peter, Peter said, scoffers arose. And those scoffers are, it's not that you are Christians. Where is the promise of his coming? As the world has been since the Father. He go come. Salvation, one on salvation, everlasting life. The scoffer was doing things. When you see people, I'm like, everlasting life, God, eternal life, really? This confuses people. No, this just, we must have tough skin. I was telling my wife, I said, sister, we must have tough skin. You know, there was something that was going on the internet. After conversion, my wife called me and said, sister, women, she bless her heart. Call me, sister, should you see what is happening? And this thing. I said, yes. I was just like that. He said, you don't know what I'm saying. I said, I saw it. I'm aware of it. And you didn't tell me. I said, how does he edify you if I tell you about it? And what does he add to you if I tell you about it? How you must, if you give it the attention, that's what Satan wants you to do. Yes, this is not because you need to know epistles. This is not the first time scoffer arises in the church. Yes, they scorn what you profess, they scorn what you are preaching. The meaning of the scoffer becomes stronger in this day. And he's to talk about the promise. Because it looks stupid that the people will be redeemed from the man and redeemed from the head. Not just being redeemed from sin and death. Do you mean they will be redeemed from what? From man, from the will of flesh, redeemed from the will of blood, and redeemed from being a man, and they will redeem from the head? Like the word of John chapter 17 will come to pass. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, for they are not of the world. For when I was with them, the world, I keep them by your name. Now I come to you, Father, that you keep this one by your own name. To keep them by your own name, you keep them by inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that say not the way. Yeah. Keep them by your name. I will declare my name to my brethren in the midst of the church. We like sing praise. Ha! And the children, the Lord, they are for signs and wonder. But how did they become that? You kept them by your name. You kept them by the inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away, that you took them. Therefore, they were redeemed from blood. They are redeemed from the will of man, and they were redeemed from the head and from flesh. Because earth is flesh. When they say they are redeemed from the earth, they are redeemed from the flesh. From the will of the flesh. That is the day that is upon us. And the earth is closing. The church world may not know. But I can tell you, an earth is closing upon us. A new age is breaking. A new day of the Lord is here. People have been saying, because I know it as I know my middle name. My middle name is Shuiks. I know my middle name. I know a age is closing. A new age is breaking upon us. It may not yet be clear yet, We may see, yeah, trying to groom in darkness to see the content of everlasting life, but gradually the precept of everlasting life is opening gradually. A edge is closing upon us. I'm talking about those who are angling of light. They must know that you cannot. We have taught Christ to us. The age of Christ is closing upon us. They are holding to us everlasting age. The age of the Son of God. We must hasten into it. We must pay the price. Every man wants to stay in familiar ground. But it's not safe to stay familiar ground. It's not staying. Familiar ground is the flesh and blood zone. We cannot. We must be like those 10 lepers. If we stay here, we die. If we go, we die. Let us enter into the city. That must be the reason in our heart, Chaffee. That must be our reason. If we stay here, we die. Then, because things that we cast up with us are here. Today, this is not how the church world used to live before. But now, in the church world, is full of vomit. The table is full of vomit. You know, when Pastor Jimati was talking last time, we were laughing. It's because if you travel in the body for a minister, you will not see things. Things they have put inside churches. People they laugh. Just I was caught up with men. It was more like that in the 70s. You can give a money to a Christian sister and you go and you come back, you meet your money. But if you try that with a bishop, now you're in trouble. People will say they are doing like they are taking care of the destitute young girl, but the pastors are sleeping with those girls. And when they are saying so something, they block. Many things are happening in church. A lot. Listen, that we have professed Christ does not mean that thing cannot happen to us in the next 10 years. If we don't go forward, flesh and blood will catch up with us. And it will not be tough because we have light. We always recognize it. That's why we must pass. We must pass from death to life. We must pass from death to life. There is no safe ground in Christ. May we say, don't worry. Spirit is resting on men outside. We must pass. He said, the judge standing at the door. The judge is standing at the door. They sanctify as the children. And they need to be delivered from flesh and blood. They need to be delivered from the earth. Everything that is earth. And they need to be delivered from everything, man. They must be delivered from that way, from that code. And they need to become gods. Because the being that we are fighting is a god. Yes, sir. It's a god. All those seraphim, they are gods. They guard it over souls. They determine consolation. Moses was describing the book of Deuteronomy. He said, the new gods, which your father does not know, that newly emerge. New gods are emerging on a daily basis. I'm not talking about Yoribo. I'm not talking about Odudu. Those are not gods. And say that spirit, Satan is falling stars to come and capture men and keep men bound on it. And that's why we must hasten, church. In this conference, if there's anything that this conference must lead to you, if there's anything you should be doing, when scoffer begin to rise, everlasting life, call eternal life, you say, hastening. When people are scoffing you, when people are laughing at you, you should be hastening, unto the day of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, say, hasten to the day of God. It's the day of God. You want to be hastening to the day of God. Hastening into the day of God. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. That is your business. You don't give yourself attention to scoffers and men that are vain. Your business in this is to be hastening. Let them be talking, but you will be hastening. As they are talking, keep hastening. As they are talking, the more they talk, hasten more. It's not the time to see, Pastor, Reverend, Baltimore Sonny, they are blackmailing. You see, normally in Christ, there was a spirit of accusation that was sent around us. In the spirit of Christ, when we are preaching Christ, there was spirit of wrong interpretation. We say, hey, they misinterpret you, what you didn't say. But yeah, be ready for the spirit. Spirit wants to wear men out. He wants men to faint. But we must be hastening. That's what you'll be doing now, hastening. This is not the day to places. This is the day to hasten. Because horn of salvation, the Lord has visited his people and redeemed his people. Have you been blessed tonight? Looking for. Ever say that, church? An hastening. Looking for an hastening unto the day of God. You should be looking for the day of God. And you should be hastening into the day of God. If you are not looking for the day of God, man, you are wasting time. Begin to look for the day of God. And begin. And when you are looking for the day of God, you are looking for the dawn. Because you can't enter the day of God. You have to enter from his dawn until you come into the perfect day. Or you come into the day star. So looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. I pray for this community. I'm not just praying for the church in Ondo. I'm praying for the community of Lucas. Those who are seeking God. I pray it will appear to our glory. Yeah. He said, your brethren. That will be Isaiah 50. Is it 50? He said, your brethren. Who have said to you? It's Isaiah. Isaiah 50. Let me look for it. That scripture just came up in my spirit. It's a comfort. Isaiah. Your brethren. Who have cast you out? Isaiah. Oh, thank you. Okay, look. Yes. Give me from verse 4. 4, please. Also, will I choose their delusion and will bring their fear upon them? Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I delight not. Verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. This Lord, hear the word of the Lord. Here is what? Lord Almighty. Ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake. The time I was declaring my name, the time I was sharing inheritance incorruptible, that fail not, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but it shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Is there anything, verse 6? A voice of noise from the city, a voice of from the temple, a voice of the Lord that render recompense unto his enemy. So you can see that the season of his name, they are judging you. They are saving from your enemies and from them that hate you. Thank you, Father. We receive encouragement tonight. Amen. That we will receive deliverance. Amen. From the will of the blood, Amen. Will of the flesh, Amen. And the will of the man. We will give attendance to the looking and to the hastening unto the day of the Lord. We will not play in this season of the day dawning and until we come into the day of the perfect day, even the day star arising in our heart. We give you praise, Son of God, and let the church of God say a big amen.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadee by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.